Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth. No matter your occupation, whether you work for a big company or you're a small business owner, everyone wants to keep as much of their earnings as possible. I specialize in tax minimization strategies and retirement planning that'll help you build a strong financial future for you and your future generations. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Alsperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, Matt Gaetz has withdrawn from consideration as Attorney General, which is a big bummer. Apparently, I guess, there were 4 Republican senators who were hard nosed, including the guy that is taking over for Romney out of Utah. So, President Trump tweeting out or socialing out, truth socialing out. He thanked Gaetz and said Gaetz didn't want to be a distraction. Came to his decision on his own. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And we are in a very, very dangerous place right now with Russia. Really, a truly dangerous place. I got to be honest with you. I don't think we're talking about this enough. This whole situation of giving Ukraine these ass kicking missiles or whatever they're called, and they're using them inside Russia. Now, Russia just fired a long range missile into Ukraine that's capable of delivering a nuclear warhead, which I think was a message. And that's not being discussed. So we're going to talk about that today as well, because I'm very nervous about all this. And I think we should be, because clearly there are people in the deep state in this administration. I'm not saying Biden. I don't think Biden knows what friggin' day it is, but who are trying to escalate this war before President Trump takes over. And we talked about that the other day with Dr. Victoria Coates. Russia has lowered the nuclear weapons threshold, and Putin is not messing around. You know, I was listening to a podcast earlier today with Tucker Carlson and Glenn Greenwald about this. And I'm going to share some insights with you. I was driving back from Atlantic City and I was listening to this thing, and it was about 2 hours or so, 2.5 hours. So obviously the drive was not that long. So I was listening to it also when I got to work. But I have a lot of observations on it that I wanted to share, as this is a very, very delicate situation right now. And we should be concerned. We really should. You know, I'm not a guy that likes to cause hysteria, but I just don't like what I'm seeing right now. But let's talk about Matt Gaetz. Let's begin there, shall we? So Matt Gaetz has withdrawn as attorney general. He was a guy who was battling serious forces against him. They didn't like him. One of the key things, I think, is that I've always said, if the government wants to get you, the government's going to find a way to get you. They always have stuff on people. I think they have stuff on everybody. I really do. I genuinely believe that. I think that if you are a problem for them, they will find ways to ruin you and destroy you. And who knows the truth about Matt Gaetz and the allegations and everything else. And clearly he didn't have the votes, and he didn't want to lose. He didn't want to make President Trump look bad and lose. And so he withdrew, because that was the right thing to do to protect the president, obviously. Now, the question is, where does Matt Gaetz go from here? Does Matt Gaetz go into the House again? Because, as I told you, he resigned from his current term in Congress, but his new term in Congress doesn't start again until the House comes to order the next Congress, the 119th, which is not until January. So theoretically, he could show up that day and be sworn in as a member of Congress if he wants to. He's only withdrawn He resigned his current seat, but that term ends at the end of this Congress as the new Congress begins. He was reelected, but that term doesn't begin until January. Of course, that may be a problem for him if there really is something in this House Ethics Committee report that was going to come out, because now that he's a former member of Congress, that won't come out. They're saying they're not going to release it because he's a former member of Congress. If he goes back into Congress, he's got so many enemies, they're going to probably try to get this out there and put that out, I would imagine. So I don't know where he goes. I do know, though, that obviously Matt Gaetz, and we talked about this with Congressman Scott Perry yesterday, was a guy who wanted to go in there and he wanted to go to battle with the people in the deep state, the DOJ, the FBI, wanted to go to battle. And Trump wanted somebody who will go to battle for him and go in there. But I guess the Ethics Committee was told of a second sexual encounter between Matt Gaetz and a 17-year-old at a party, according to a source. And so if that was true, or even if it wasn't true and it was just going to become a huge distraction during his Senate confirmation hearing, he just said, all right, you know, that's the end of it. Now, Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson's, who is supportive of Matt Gaetz, he's on Fox News right now, and he's basically saying, I Matt did the right thing here, and, you know, we give all nominees the benefit of the doubt, but this was going to be a big fight, and the votes were not there. Whether they didn't want to have this situation where Gaetz was going to have to defend himself from what came out in the ethics report or the allegations or anything with a 17-year-old, or they didn't want to have that situation where he was going to have to defend that. He told people close to him that he concluded after conversations with senators and their staff that there were at least four Republican senators who were absolutely opposed to his nomination. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, obviously, Susan Collins of Maine, Mitch McConnell, and John Curtis of Utah, who takes over for Mitt Romney. So even though last week I said to you Mitt Romney would be a hard no, and people were like, well, Romney is not going to be in the Senate. Well, it turns out that the guy who's taken over for him is basically Romney. So you might as well just call him Romney, because he was also opposed to Gaetz. Now, the other question that I have then is this: does this spell doom for RFK and for Tulsi Gabbard? That's the other question that I have. That's the bigger question that I think we have to ask even beyond all this, because these guys, these four Republican senators have no problem crossing Donald Trump. Obviously, they're not afraid of this. This guy, let's think about it, right? This guy who just got elected in Utah, John Curtis, he's got a 6-year term. He'll when Trump leaves office, he still has 2 years to go before he even has to run for reelection. Think about that. Murkowski and Collins are not up anytime soon, and McConnell just doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. You know, he's not the leader anymore, but he's not going anywhere. Mitch has got a dossier on everybody, basically. He knows where all the bodies are buried. As my buddy Phil Kirpin always says, there are graveyards full of people that have crossed Mitch McConnell in Washington, so he doesn't care. Are they going to oppose Gabbard and RFK Jr.? That's the question that I have. That's the real question we should be asking. Because what they're going to do with Tulsi, so with Gaetz, it was these allegations of sexual impropriety and the 17-year-old. And I don't know if it's true or not. I have no idea. But that would become the battle in the flashpoint. But these four were still going to vote against him anyway. So you'd embarrass Trump and you'd embarrass the president-elect. You'd embarrass him during all this. And then he ultimately loses regardless because they were going to vote no either way. The whole thing with the Ethics Committee was just the excuse to use to vote no. They were just never going to confirm Matt Gaetz. They don't want him in there. He's a disruptor. Tulsi Gabbard. They don't want Tulsi in there. They're going to bring up Russia. They're going to bring up her meeting with Assad, Bashar al-Assad. They're going to say that she went to Syria to help Russia and that she's Russia's sweetheart and she shouldn't be confirmed. And these four warmongers, and that's really what they are. Let's think about this now. This is the old Republican guard. They don't want Tulsi in there. They don't want somebody who's going to be the director of national intelligence who's going to be opposed to regime change. And we talk about American foreign intervention. What are we saying? What we're saying is, and by the way, we're streaming live on YouTube right now. So join the fun. I'm less blue than I was yesterday. I looked like a lounge act. I was in the Hard Rock. And I did look like a lounge lizard, but I'm less blue today than I am. So the nose will be a little less red reflecting off that. But nevertheless, I did find some powder that Dawn Stensland gave me. She's a sweetheart. A long time ago, when we were in mornings together, I may have to powder up the old schnoz at some point. Probably should start just doing that regularly. You know what I mean? But anyway, we're streaming live on YouTube, so join the fun. But here's the thing. Tulsi is a disruptor as well. She will go in there as director of national intelligence, and she will be against American foreign intervention for regime changes to go in there and displace governments and put in new governments and rebuild countries and all the nonsense that we have been doing. This nation has been doing. She's opposed to all that. These four Republicans, they love that stuff. McConnell loves that. I mean, McConnell loves the war in Ukraine. They all do. These four, these are all pro-America, stop bad guy Putin, rah, 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 Ukraine. That's these four right here. They're not going to confirm Tulsi Gabbard. Bobby Kennedy, they don't like him either because he is going to go after big food, big pharma. They're going to use the vaccine thing as the red herring to get rid of him. And these four that are entrenched by and they've padded their pockets over the years from all these different lobbyists from big food and big pharma. I wonder, are these four going to stop him? They'll say he's anti-vax, and that's not true, but they'll say that about him anyway, and they'll just use that, and that's that. Oh, do you have this clip of Fetterman, Matt? They're playing in Fox News right now. They asked John Fetterperson about Matt Gaetz's dropping out. Do you have that by chance?
I don't, but give me 2 seconds.
Okay, yeah, see if we can find that. He's wearing his hoodie and his shorts, and he came out, and he's speaking right now about Matt Gaetz dropping out. But look, there are entrenched Republicans in the United States Senate, swamp creature hacks who are pro-American interventionists who want to see this war in Ukraine keep going. They don't want to disrupt the coziness of all the lobbyists on K Street in D.C. There's other streets where lobbyists are, but that's the old saying, K Street, where the big lobbying firms are. I don't even know if they're still on K Street. Who the hell knows? I have no idea. But wherever the lobbyists are, Capitol Grill and all the dinners and all the fancy bottles of wine and all the steaks, and these people pad their pockets. These senators get all kinds of campaign contributions. They all become rich somehow. And there's a lot of members in the House who also do not want to disrupt this. You understand? They do not want to disrupt this either. There's a lot of the Republicans in the House who are very much about keeping this war in Ukraine going as long as possible. In fact, they're happy that Biden is now giving Ukraine the ability to send long-range missiles into Russia. They just wish Biden did it a year ago, even though this is pushing us towards the brink of a potential nuclear war with Russia. These people don't want disruptors. They do not. They want everything status quo. And they didn't think Trump was going to win. And now he did, and now he's appointing disruptors, and they're going to rely on these four safe Republican senators who don't have to worry about losing their seats. They're going to rely on these four to block Trump's disruptors. That's my fear right now. My fear is that Matt Gaetz is only the first, and the message that's going to be sent to President Trump, President-elect Trump, is going to be, you better give us nominees who are mainstream. Enough with these outliers. Enough with people that we consider to be the kooks. We being the establishment, the permanent government, the swamp, the uniparty. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We talk about it on the show all the time. We bravely go where other shows don't want to go in talk radio. I'm not afraid of exposing all this crap because it frustrates me to the ends of the earth. It frustrates me what I see happening here. President Trump should be able to surround himself with disruptors who are like him. The Gaetz, all this stuff with Matt Gaetz and cocaine and sex and all this, that's just the excuse. That's the excuse to use to get rid of Gaetz. The truth is they don't want somebody to go in there and overturn DOJ and the FBI. They don't want that. The swamp does not want that. They don't want somebody to go in there and disrupt the coziness between big pharma and big food and all the lobbyist money. And they do not want somebody to go in there and advise the president against continuing this never-ending war in Ukraine, which is what Tulsi Gabbard would do, or what the United States, where the United States should intervene next. That's what I'm seeing here. And these four senators, so you got Murkowski, Collins, McConnell, and now this new guy out of Utah, John Curtis, who I don't know a damn thing about. Matt DeSantis, do you know anything about this guy, John Curtis of Utah, other than he's already acting like Mitt Romney?
I don't know. I don't know anything about him, unfortunately.
I have no idea because I didn't follow the race. I didn't care. I mean, it's a red state, so whoever the Republican nominee was going to be was going to win. Obviously, I don't know much about the guy, but based on this, I can tell you he's going to be. Look for these. There, you cannot do not discount the amount of members in the House of Representatives who are anti-Donald Trump, who are Republicans, who are anti-Trump, and anti-Trumpism and anti-America First and all the things Trump stands for. But they know what he can do to them. He can destroy them by primarying them. He can destroy them if he wants to. We've seen that. And unfortunately, we've seen some good ones go, too, like Bob Good in Virginia. He was great. And I that was a mistake to push him out. It was a huge mistake to back his opponent, who's going to be just part of the mainstream swamp, no doubt about it. But these Republicans know that if they cross Trump in the House, they got to run again in 2 years, and that's going to be a real problem for them. So they don't want to do it. So what they're relying on is they're relying on these senators to do the dirty work for them, because these people have 6-year terms. They'll outlast Donald Trump. They're not worried about it. And even if Trump goes in there and starts trying to raise money for their primary opponents, they don't care, because these four have war chests. I don't know about the guy from Utah, but I'm guessing the other three at least. And McConnell's war chest, my God. I mean, that guy probably has, I would guess, probably $30 million cash on hand, I would think. So here's what I'm, that. So now you understand my concern about this, that the Gates is not the issue. It's not Matt Gaetz. In fact, in many ways, if you want to say this was a three-dimensional chess move, the only three-dimensional chess about this was to gauge whether or not Trump was going to have a problem getting his people through the Senate. And he figures, let me throw up the first, I'll throw Gaetz up and we'll see. But I'm worried about the other two. I am. I'm worried about Gabbard and I'm worried about Kennedy. And I think there's good reason to be. They're disruptors. They don't play with the moderate wing of the Republican Party, which is most of the establishment. Let's be honest. It's most of the establishment of the Republican Party. I left my usual headphones home today, so I got to wear these friggin' cans. And I hate it because my glass is on and off, and I got to keep moving the headphones. You know what I mean? But we got a big show for you today. Dr. Martin Kulldorff is going to be on the show. We're going to talk about Bobby Kennedy and his article, Robert F. Kennedy is Right. Let's study vaccine risk factors. But I think it's not the vaccine thing. That'll be what they'll do, is that'll be the issue that they use as the excuse. But it really be because Bobby Kennedy wants to go in there and battle big food and big pharma. These are such powerful interests. Such powerful interests. Just like Tulsi wants to battle the war industrial complex. We're talking about Raytheon and Lockheed and Boeing and all the deep pockets of this. A lot of money at stake here. A lot of money at stake. That's why they tried to stop Trump so much in the first place. I mean, they tried to kill the frigging guy. Curtis has been a congressman since 2017. He did not support Trump in the 2024 primaries, though he did have an 88% lifetime conservative score, according to Heritage Action America. So he's not a Trump guy. All right. Well, that's a shock. That's a big shock right there, right? Here's Fetterman reacting to Matt Gaetz. Go ahead.
Holy shit. I didn't see that coming.
Oh.
I mean, like, yes, he was the ultimate troll, and people have the opportunity, they can freak out over thing and respond. And if you want to do that, you don't have to. You better pace yourself, though, because it's not even Thanksgiving, and we don't have to react and take unserious things so seriously that the world's going to spin off its axis the way it is right now. But I just heard something. I heard that Trump is going to issue a new silver dollar to commemorate that. So I think that's going to be the next cycle.
Trust me when I tell you this. Okay, these people want to stop disruptors. They want everybody to go into these places and play nice. I said this on the show yesterday when I was talking to Kevin Roberts, the president of the Heritage Foundation. This is our one shot. We've got one shot at this. We are battling the federal Leviathan, as Mark Levin calls it, the bureaucracy. We are battling this deep state that is so entrenched in every aspect of our lives and so powerful. You got a president who cannot run for re-election, who was taken down by these people, taken out by these people. Let's understand what they did to him. They tried to stop him from winning. When he won, they tried to bring his presidency down. And even up on the way out the door, what do? They impeached the guy and they sent him a warning. They said, on your way out the door, you do anything we don't like, we'll remove you. We will convict you and you'll never be able to run again. So don't try any funny business. Just go on your way. Just leave. Otherwise, we're going to wind up making it so you can never run for office again. And then they were successful with the Hunter Biden laptop and getting rid of Trump. But Trump wins and Trump prevails. Now he's got 4 years to go in there. And the very people that have so much power where they can take out an American president, he wants to overturn it all and just expose it, put these people out there, shine a light on it, hold them accountable. And the forces in Washington that are going to resist that, you would be very wise to trust me on this. This is not about Matt Gaetz. This is nothing to do with Matt Gaetz. Because if Trump tries to put somebody else who's a Matt Gaetz into this position as attorney general, then something about that person's past will come out. And something about that is going to come out that's going to show everybody why this person can't be nominated. But if you put somebody who plays nice in the sandbox and isn't going to go in there and disrupt everything, well, then that's a different situation. Don't doubt me on this. I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about here. This is not good. Curtis had voted with Trump's positions 94.4% of the time, but called for Trump to be censured for January 6th. So Curtis is, and Utah was not a Trump state in, it is now, but I mean, 2016 in the primaries, it was a mess. Ultimately went for Trump, but it's where that guy Evan McMullen came from. A lot of Mormon population out there, obviously, Utah. So you got four senators now, four Republican senators from the old wing of the party, the old guard, who are literally going to be the old guard, who are literally going to guard the palace from the disruptor and the barbarians who want to go in there and actually do what would be a completely legal. So insurrection is not the right word for it, but a completely legal revolution of the executive branch of government and the bureaucracy and the deep state. And these people are going to stand in their way. These four senators are going to stand in their way. And so my spidey sense is telling me, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Bobby Kennedy will sail through. Maybe Tulsi will sail through. Maybe I'm overthinking this. But how often am I wrong on this stuff when my gut tells me something? You know what I mean? How often? What's my track record? It's pretty good. It's pretty good with this stuff, with my gut instinct. My gut instinct right now says, we got problems. We got problems here. Gaetz was the test to see how far, to see if the power of Trump and this momentum and this and the populism and his mandate could overcome this. These four palace guards who probably made a lot of phone calls to their colleagues in the House. We got to stop these. We got to stop him, and we got to stop this person, and we got to stop that person. And I'm worried now. You should be worried, too. I don't want to be like doom and gloom here, but this is concerning. This is concerning to me. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VanariaDental.com. And I want to tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding because they're going to give you 10% off inflation relief discount with Emmons. Listen, when it comes to your home, peace and protection are paramount. And that's why you want to use the company that I've trusted for so many years, Emmons Roofing and Siding. I love the great work that they do. Matt and Stephanie are terrific people. They even do bathroom remodeling now. Yeah, they remodeled the bathroom in my old house. Did a great job with that. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, emmonsroofing.com. And you'll see they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of the great work that they do. You can be confident the work will be done to your specifications, and you'll be very happy. 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677. Or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. And go with the brand, the name, not the brand, the name that I trust. Emmons. Emmonsroofing.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, yeah. Big day today. Lots to chat about. One of the more controversial nominees, of course, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a very controversial nominee for a lot of reasons, as I mentioned. And one of those is, of course, his opinion on vaccines. Here to talk about it with me, Dr. Martin Kulldorff. I want to welcome him back to the show. He's the man, an epidemiologist, biostatistician, founding fellow at Hillsdale's College Academy for Science and Freedom, former professor of medicine at Harvard University, and co-author of the Great Barrington Declaration. Professor Kulldorff, it is an honor to have you back on the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And your new piece, Kulldorff, excuse me, I want to make sure I pronounce it correctly. And your new piece at The Federalist, which is an excellent read, world-renowned vaccine scientist. RFK is right. Let's study vaccine risk factors. By the way, just to, as a starting point, though, for those that don't know, the Great Barrington Declaration was one of the most liberating declarations during the pandemic. So I want to thank you for your work on that.
Well, I think it was important to push against the lockdowns and against school closures and instead advocate for focused protection, taking care of those older people who were at the highest risk.
Yeah. Yeah, you did phenomenal work. We all deserve you a debt of gratitude for that. So there's a lot of people right now who are wondering about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and they've said that he's anti-vax. He has come out himself and said, I'm not anti-vax. But that, of course, is what they keep saying about him. He has three stated goals for the federal health agencies, as you point out: evidence-based medicine, clean up corruption and conflicts of interest, and end the chronic disease epidemic with special emphasis on our children and concrete results within 2 years. These are not only laudable goals, you say, but urgent ones. Give me some more details on that, of why you think that's so important.
Well, evidence-based medicine is really important if we want to have good health care, good public health. So that was abandoned during the pandemic with school closures. There was never any evidence about neither the efficacy of school closures, and there was actually evidence that there was not a problem with keeping kids in school. And, of course, the collateral damage is enormous on children. Another example during the pandemic is natural infection-acquired immunity, where people who have recovered from COVID, they have better immunity than the vaccinated, but they still were forced and mandated to take vaccines or fired or kicked out of school. So we lost evidence-based medicine during the pandemic, and I think it's very it's great that RFK Jr. is trying to get us back into that. We have to do studies to know what works and what doesn't work, and then follow that. We have to have randomized studies. We need to have observational studies and so on. So that's a very important thing to push for.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. What about the conflicts of interest that exist between big food, big pharma? We hear about that a lot, where RFK Jr. has come out and said, we're poisoning our kids. We're making our kids sick. We're causing childhood diabetes, childhood obesity. We have these epidemics. We got to clean this up. We got to do something. But there's a lot of corruption within the government agencies that are supposed to be the regulators here.
Yeah, so for example, there's a revolving door between the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry, both at the highest level of FDA commissioner, like former FDA head Scott Gottlieb, who is now on the board of Pfizer, but also at the lower mid-levels. When they retire from FDA, they often go to pharmaceutical industry. So there's a revolving door, and that's a problem. And also among scientists, I think I'm one of the few scientists who work on pharmacoepidemiology who has never received money from the pharmaceutical industry. And it's not that it's badly intended, but they get grants from Merck or Pfizer and so on. And that means that it's hard to be completely independent. So we need more. We need to combat that conflict of interest that exists both for drugs and vaccines.
What they're going to say, I think that Bobby Kennedy's going to face an uphill battle. I really do. And I want to see him win. I think he'd be great. But I'm worried about him because he's challenging such institutions here. And you saw that yourself, Dr. Kulldorff, during COVID, how powerful these institutions are, how powerful the experts are. They don't want a guy like that to come in there and challenge anything. This is what the fight's going to be. And what they're going to say, they're going to turn around. They're going to say, hey, this is a nut who wants to take fluoride out of the water. This is a nut who's anti-vaccine. First of all, on the fluoride thing, I mean, there's so many studies right now about fluoride in the drinking water and IQ levels. But I guess the question that I have is, Can't you just get fluoride by brushing your teeth and using mouthwash? Why does it even have to be in the water? I think there's a great questions about that. I mean, I don't think it's wrong to ask those questions, number one. And number two, when it comes to vaccines, I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning what he wants to do, which is the safety and efficacy of vaccines.
Well, with fluoride, I'm not an expert on that, but I mean, European countries, most of them do not have fluoride in the water. So it shouldn't be controversial to have that discussion. There should be an open debate. With vaccines, I'm a huge fan of vaccines. I think they are very, very important. But we should always study the adverse reactions to it. That's very important to have a very robust vaccine safety surveillance system. So he is right that we should explore these things. And he's also right that we should have randomized trials with placebo as a comparison group, not rather than another vaccine. So to want to have answers about vaccines and study vaccines, that's not being vaccine skeptic or anti-vax. If you're pro-vaccine, then you have to have a desire to understand the vaccines better.
I agree. And again, I want to emphasize, you know, you support vaccines. You are a big believer in them. And this is why you saying this matters so much to everybody. And the other point, too, is that we have reached a point now where there are efforts by governments, California, New Jersey. But we saw this on the federal level in the United States of America. You dealt with this on the international level with the World Health Organization. The efforts to say we will decide what is science, and anybody who goes out of that lane and gives a different opinion, we'll take away your medical license. I mean, there's laws on the books now in California, and New Jersey's trying to do the exact same thing, which, of course, stifles doctors and doesn't, you know, they don't want to then debate science. And so the government will decide what is science. That we saw that through COVID and how wrong they got it, the experts, right? How wrong. But what they use, as you point out in your piece at the Federalist, Dr. Koldorf, they, you know, censorship, slander, and all the other things that they do if you challenge the conventional wisdom.
That's terrible. And if that continues, it will be the death of science. During the pandemic, there was only one major Western country that followed an evidence-based approach, and that was Sweden. And Sweden has the lowest excess mortality during pandemics, so Sweden was proved to be right. But when I and others in the U.S. was advocating that type of focused protection, there was communication between the NIH director, Francis Collins, and Anthony Fauci about that we're being fringe epidemiologists, and they wanted a devastating takedown. That's not how you do science. You listen to different scientists, and that's how you find the truth eventually.
What kind of forces are going to try to stop Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s nomination from going through, you think? We hear about big food. We hear about big pharma. How powerful are these interests? And then what about the bureaucrats at the NIH and all the other various three-letter and four-letter agencies within government?
I think the pharmaceutical industry are scared of him, and I think they should be. So I think they will probably do everything they can to scuttle disappointment, and parts of the food industry maybe as well. I think that among government employees at these agencies, I think there's probably mixed feelings, but I think he has probably had a lot of support among many people there who see these problems.
Yeah, because they've allowed these problems to continue for decades and have done nothing about it. And for a lot of them, they'll go from the FDA and they'll wind up taking a job at a pharmaceutical company or a big food company. So this revolving door, and that's a big problem as well. Now, you say he's right. The pharmaceutical companies he's right to want to go after them. What, I mean, why do you say that? I just out of curiosity.
Well, I think that the FDA has approved things that maybe shouldn't have been approved. Mm-hmm. And I think the COVID vaccine was one example where they didn't do the proper studies. Mm-hmm. They did a randomized trial, which is important, but the outcome was symptomatic COVID disease. The outcome should have been mortality or hospitalization, because that's what we care about. We don't care if somebody is sick for a few days and then go back to work. We care about people dying or having to be hospitalized. So the randomized trials for the COVID vaccine was not well conducted, unfortunately.
Well, thank you for writing this piece. I'll post a link to it. It's an excellent piece. And the title of it, again, at thefederalist.com is World-Renowned Vaccine Scientist RFK is Right. Let's Study Vaccine Risk Factors. Dr. Martin Kulldorff, the man behind the Great Barrington Doctrine, which I think is one of the most liberating doctrines, as I said, during COVID. It really helped. And a man who is a former professor of medicine at Harvard University, among so many other things, your incredible accomplishments. So I really appreciate your time today. I really do. And we'll see what kind of a battle he faces ahead. But obviously, you are an advocate for challenging, as science always needs to do, to keep challenging every step of the way. So I thank you for that, my friend.
Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, so let's see. Where do we go with all this? Matt Gaetz is out as Attorney General. And my concern right now, if you're just joining us, is that I'm concerned about RFK Jr. and I'm concerned about Tulsi. I'm concerned that these four senators are going to stand in the way because those are two disruptors. And you just heard Dr. Kulldorff talk about all of the very powerful interests that will work against Bobby Kennedy and work to stop him. And they're going to come out and say that he's anti-vax. They're going to come out and call him a nut and do all the other things. But the truth is, it's not that. The truth is, it's because he wants to battle big food and big pharma. These are such incredibly powerful people, but also the bureaucrats. Don't underestimate that, too, the power of the bureaucrats in Washington. Now, they don't get a vote, but they're entrenched with these lobbyists and these lawyers and all the other people that live in the swamp who will write campaign checks. These four Republican senators could potentially be a very big problem for Bobby Kennedy because of big food and big pharma and their incredible power that they have in Washington. And then I bring up Tulsi Gabbard because Tulsi Gabbard, obviously, and we hear it already, it's all over the place. She's a Russian asset. She's loyal to Putin. She went and met with Bashar al-Assad. She's anti-American. She's a mole, blah, blah, blah. That's all BS. And they know it's all BS, just like they knew Trump's not a Nazi. But it doesn't matter. They say these things because they want to stop it. They want to stop her. They don't want her becoming director of national intelligence. They're going to say Bobby Kennedy's anti-vax. He's going to come out and say, I'm not anti-vaccine. I have questions. We're going to look, but it doesn't matter. That's what they're going to use as the impotence. They know he's not, but they're going to say that as the impotence to stop him. And you've already have, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, coming out and saying he's going to bring back polio and measles and all the other things. I mean, lies, just pure lies about him that are being said. My point is, they tried to stop Donald Trump so many times because the man is the ultimate disruptor. He's a human wrecking ball. He's a human bull in a china shop. And they want to keep that bull as restrained as possible for the next 4 years. He has a chance now to put people in there. Yeah, and there's already allegations against Pete Hegseth, too. But look, Pete Hegseth is not necessarily that. It's not that he's this anti-interventionist guy. He's not a Pentagon guy. He's not a Pentagon guy. They want a Pentagon guy in there. So, yeah, now there's allegations that Pete Hegseth committed sexual assault. That, you know, that's never come out before, but all of a sudden, boom, it comes out, right? Isn't that amazing how that works? All of a sudden, now there's allegations against him, too. And it doesn't have to be true. Just like with Gaetz, it doesn't have to be true. It becomes the excuse that they get to use to say no. Here's Hegseth denying the allegations on Capitol Hill today. Let's play cut number 24.
I want to thank the President of the United States for this amazing, humbling opportunity to be nominated to the Department of Defense. It's an incredible opportunity to not take lightly. I just want to thank the Vice President of the United States. She advanced and spent the morning with me, meeting with Senators of the United States. We take very seriously the advice and consent role that the U.S. Senate has. We look forward to engaging in that process. We take absolutely nothing for granted, and we welcome the opportunity to talk to any senator that wants to talk to us.
Did you sexually assault women in Monterey, California?
I have, as far as the media is concerned, I'll keep it very simple. The matter was fully investigated, and I was completely cleared, and that's where I'm going to leave it. Thank you very much.
So the matter's cleared and that's where he's going to leave it. But so it really for Hegseth, who I think has a good chance of getting confirmed, I think it's going to come down to that question of whether or not they think he'll play nice with the Pentagon. This is so powerful. Think about Dwight Eisenhower warning against the military-industrial complex in 1960, which was far less powerful than it is today. Think about him warning against the scientific and industrial expert complex in America, which we don't talk about enough about. It was a lot less powerful back then than it is today. These are very powerful forces here that these disruptors are going to be against. Susan is in Chester Springs. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. It's my dog. Hi, Rich. I just want to know why they don't do recess appointments, why Trump isn't doing recess appointments.
Well, and what kind of dog do you have, by the way?
Oh, my God. It's a German Shepherd.
Oh, I love German Shepherds. I had a German Shepherd when I was a kid. Her name was Jessie. She was hit by a car, and I was so sad. Oh, it was the worst. I love that dog so much. German Shepherds
are
great.
We love him mostly. But isn't it easier to do a recess?
Well,
appointment?
It's very complicated, and I'm going to get it. I'll get into that as the show goes on. It's not
okay.
It's not a super simple answer, as much as people are making it out to be. It's complicated, and it needs the support of Speaker Johnson and all the House Republicans. And I don't know if Trump has that. So I'll talk more about it as we go along here. But
okay.
Susan, it's
well,
an excellent love question.
Love your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. What's your dog's name?
Buddy.
Buddy.
So that's the name of the first German Shepherd who was brought over here in 27 as a seeing eye dog.
Oh, wow. Very cool. All right, buddy. Hey, buddy. Be a good boy, buddy.
I wish. All right. Thanks, Rich.
All right. You got it, Susan. I'll talk more about the recess appointment thing. There's an issue regarding, technically speaking, the House has to agree to a recess. Also, there's questions around the courts and whether a recess appointment for a big position like that would be constitutional. This particular Supreme Court doesn't like recess appointments. So there's that aspect of it, too. And if the court finds that the recess appointment was unconstitutional, then everything that the attorney general has done would be undone and the office would be vacated. So it's problematic. It's not super simple. And there are a lot of people that have philosophical objections to recess appointments as well, who don't want to see that happen. So there's that issue. There's a lot. We'll get into all these things, obviously, as we go along here. But look, I really do think they've got something on everybody. And I think that you'd be a fool in this day and age to be online without a VPN. You got to have a VPN. You need to, trust me when I tell you, you need to make sure your data is secure every time you're on the internet. The VPN, which I'm connected right now to DuckDuckGo's VPN. So I click it on the top and it's connected. DuckDuckGo VPN is on. All device internet traffic is being secured through the VPN. It's got me connected through Newark, New Jersey. They don't even know where my location is. And all my data right now is being encrypted so that the Wi-Fi that I'm on here, nobody can see it. The internet provider, hackers, scammers, they can't get it too. It's all great. The DuckDuckGo VPN comes as part of Privacy Pro, the 3-in-1 privacy solution you need from DuckDuckGo. And it also includes personal data removal and identity theft restoration. You get all that, $10 a month. It's a no-brainer. 7-day free trial to see how easy it is to use and how essential it is to use. And you set the VPN, you forget it. You don't even know it's there, but it's protecting you every single time, making sure your data is connected end-to-end. And there's a lot of VPNs out there, but this is the DuckDuckGo VPN. The people that created online privacy, really, in my opinion, they are the forerunners of internet privacy. Local company as well, right in our backyard. And you think about the people that are looking for you as the product, and they want to get your data, and they want to scam you. And they also, you never know. I mean, someday they want to see what your search history was on medical websites to rate you for insurance. Who knows? I don't know. All I'm saying is nobody needs to see what you're looking at online. So protect yourself with DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro. VPN. Personal identity theft restoration and personal data removal, all 3-in-1 solution for you, $10 a month. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210, duckduckgo.com/1210. Sign up today.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
By the way, the NFL has said players are free to do the Trump dance. So there you go. They're free to do the Trump dance, just like we thought. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thanks to my buddy, the greater Chris Eppolito, who says he retweeted something from Kathy Barnett our dear friend Kathy Burnett, who said the rumor is now Ken Paxton from Texas to be attorney general. That is the rumor that's out there now at this point, that it would be Paxton as attorney general. Regarding Pete Hegseth as the defense secretary, a police report released Wednesday night provided graphic details about a sexual assault accusation against Pete Hegseth. The report also documents Hegseth's vehement denials that he coerced a complaint into a sexual encounter at a Monterey, California political conference 7 years ago. He was never charged with a crime. According to the report, the woman, whose name was withheld, told the police that she ended up in Mr. Hegseth's hotel room after he spoke at the conference. Goes on to talk about how she said it was not consenting. Video footage at the hotel earlier that evening showed them at one point leaving a hotel bar with their arms locked together, the report said. I'm not saying he's toast. What I'm saying is the question for Hegseth will be, will you let the Pentagon be in charge? If the answer's yes, then they'll let this go. If the answer's no, then this will be the excuse that they use to bring him down too. There's something on everybody. I'm telling you, they have something on everybody. They've got dossiers and folders and I'm serious. I really believe that. I heard Tucker Carlson say this point the other day. He said he thinks that all of the porn sites that are out there are in cahoots with the intelligence community. Like, you know, so if you go online to whatever it is, I've never been on those sites myself. I don't even know the names of them, but whatever it is, pornhub.com or something. Matt DeSantis, what are the ones you like? Give us a couple of the ones. Well, again, why you need a VPN so they don't track your data? Because his point was the CIA is monitoring all that stuff. And, you know, at some point, you don't play nice. They go, oh, here you go. They go, it'd be a shame if this came out, huh? There you go. What are your favorites to see? Like Red Tube? What do you like? What do you like? Huh?
I think we gotta go to break.
You go to break. That's a shame, huh? All right, well, I'm gonna take your calls. Stay right there. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. A big 4 o'clock hour coming up. More breaking news on this and the appointments and everything else that's happening. Mike Lee would be a great attorney general. I would love that. That'd be amazing. Amazing. You know what? Before I go to break, let's see. Terry in Morristown has a suggestion for AG. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
Good. How are you, Terry?
Doing very good. A couple comments. Paxton had mud thrown at him about a year ago, so I don't know how that'll go.
Yep.
Mike Lee, he would be better on the Supreme Court.
Yes. Yeah,
he really
would.
Knows the
yeah.
Constitution.
Yeah.
My thought of someone who used to work for an attorney general, Ed Meese. Mm-hmm. How about Mark Levin?
That'd be phenomenal. It'd be a great pick. That'd be an outstanding
just something
pick.
To think about. Yeah.
The only problem is
anyway,
he'd have to give up.
His, have a good day.
He'd have to give up his radio show. It's the only problem, though. So.
True, but man, he'd be great.
He would be great. I could take it over for him. All right.
There you go.
There you go, Terry.
Wonderful. Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. We got. What did you say about his brother? His brother. What's his name?
Oh yeah. His brother Thomas Lee is supposed to be a front runner for the Supreme Court.
Interesting. Well, Mike Lee's great. I'm sure his brother's great too. The lesser Lee. All right. We got a lot more to get to in the 4 o'clock hour. Do not go away. More breaking news on all these appointments.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.